All right, we're back in Genesis. Back in Genesis. Tonight, men, we have a lesson to learn about life. And the women are saying, all right, he's going to pick on the men. No. You girls will be in the same boat also. Because just like Joseph's going to be tempted and tested and tried, we can be in the same situations. Because as we look at this thing, every one of us work in offices or around other businesses or around other people. And there's always a time when you just might be caught alone with somebody, and they might be wanting to wink at you or rub their hand on your arm or say something really cute or sweet to you. Believe me, there's not a single person who, if the devil wants to tempt or test, can't find somebody to tempt or test you. So as we get into this thing, let's remember that this is not just a Joseph thing. This is all of us kind of thing. Women, men, anybody that's out around other folks, this very thing can happen to you and be tempted at you with. It says, and Joseph was brought down down to Egypt, and to Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him to the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, that doesn't say how much he paid for him, but I guarantee you, Joseph being a nice, strong young man, I guarantee you, Potiphar says, that boy's worth a few dollars, so they gave 20 pieces of silver back yonder. He probably got that and more when they sold him. And the Egyptian put him in his house, working in his house. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So it seems like now that while Joseph is there, while Joseph is in the Potiphar's house and the captain of the guard's house, that Joseph is being so blessed by God that the blessings are falling over into Potiphar, and all of a sudden Potiphar's being blessed, and that's the way it's supposed to be about us. We, as we go through life, God's blessing us, and other folks get blessed because we're being blessed. So Joseph here is living in Potiphar's house, and God, the Lord, was with Joseph. Now, Joseph may not have quite understood that totally at the time, and all through the next two chapters when he's in prison and different things like that, it says that God gave him favor, and God's doing this. God's providence was working things out in Joseph's life, whether Joseph ever got a hold of it to begin with or not. I understand he understood he dreamed a dream back yonder, and he understood that one day maybe he would be in charge of someplace else. But all these things are taking place that he has to suffer through and deal with and go through. God didn't just, all right, now you're in charge. Joseph had to be grown up and learned.
It reminds me of Jacob and his father-in-law. That man was blessed because of Jacob.
Yep, just a blessing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like the same song.
Same song. That God's song sounds the same all the time, almost. It says here, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. The master now, maybe he might have knew the Lord, he might not have knew the Lord, but he could tell that some providential thing was going on. Said, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. He's looking back, and he's watching this young man, he says, if I put him over the housekeepers, all of a sudden the housekeepers are doing a fabulous job. If I put him over the chickens, all of a sudden the chickens are making eggs and stuff like you can't count them all up. If I put him over the sheep over here. But we understand Joseph probably was a house person, but whatever part of the duties of the house, whether it was over the shopping, over the clothes, over whatever, everything that the master put him over, it was prospering. And believe me, guys who are into money and into making things happen, when they see somebody's got a knack with making things happen, they take an eye look and they say, I got to watch this guy. This guy's valuable to me. This guy's important to me. This guy is an asset to my business. So his master kept looking at him and he said, no matter where I place Joseph, we're prospering. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And Joseph found grace in his sight. In other words, not because Joseph was trying to find grace, not because Joseph was hey, look at me, how great I am, you need to pay attention to me. But Joseph just done what he was supposed to do. He was doing just what he was supposed to do, and God, believe it or not, God made the master see what's happening. God's the one that you could get old bad mean boss and he'll look at all this prospering going on and think it's something he did. But this master had enough sense, God's sense, to look over what's happening and say, wow, I need to take care of him. I need to make sure that I keep bumping him up and making things go, because the more he touches, the more I got. So he says he found grace in his sight. And he served him, and he was made him overseer over his house and all that was put into his hand. In other words, the master says, look, you're over the butlers, the bakers, the cookers, whatever goes on in here, the sewers, everything but my wife, everything but my personal wife, you're over to make sure it all goes right. He had a lot of respect for what Joseph was and how he did business. He says he found so much favor and he served him so he made him overseer over the whole house. In other words, just like when Pharaoh says, I make him over everything except over me. He pretty well says, whatever Joseph says, that's what we're going to do. Except you don't get hurt. And Joseph knew that. He wasn't even shooting for that. He just knew, I'm over the house. And I'm over to make sure, even her, he was supposed to make sure she's protected, watched over, and taken care of, because we'll watch this in a few minutes. And it came to pass. Man, it's always coming to pass, guys. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. From the very moment that Joseph's placed in charge, all of a sudden this Egyptian is making money. He's prospering. I mean, he's throwing money in the bank. He ain't even got to count it no more. He's making so much money. Everything he's done, from the very moment, he says, the best decision I ever done was I put that boy in charge. I mean, this is great. And he blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Not for the Egyptian's sake, but for Joseph's sake. And he blessed, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all he had in the house and in the field. Not only did the stuff in the house do good, but his corn crop made abundance. His wheat crop made abundance. His flour crop made abundance. His rice bran made abundance. Whatever he was growing out there, it prospered. This guy says, wow, there's something special about Joseph. But you got to understand, when there's something special about somebody, there's always somebody wanting to tear him down. There's always somebody that's eyeballing him and thinking covetousness or whatever, but there's something going on here. And it may be that she wasn't thinking about tearing him down. She just was thinking, hey, but we'll see. And everything in the field was growing and prospering and doing all kinds of things. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught of he had, save the bread which he did eat. In other words, he didn't go check his checking account. He didn't go look in the pantry to see what's going on. He just knew the food was on the table every day at dinner time, supper time, breakfast time, snack time. His clothes was washed. His clothes were all fixed up. He didn't have no holes in them. He says, man, I ain't got to worry about a thing. Ever since this boy Joseph has been put over this house, I can just sit back and watch TV pretty much. I mean, I got it. He says he didn't worry about a thing, not even the food that he ate. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Now, Joseph was a goodly person. In other words, Joseph was respectful. He was kind. He was generous. And when it says he was well-favored, man, he was a good-looking guy. I don't know if he was a Rock Hudson or nothing like that, but he was a good-looking guy. And I hate to scared to use the word Rock Hudson. But anyways, he was a good-looking guy. But anyways, y'all scratch the bad out of that and take the good. Anyways, I thought about that after I said it. Anyways, and it came to pass. Elvis Presley, there you go, was a goodly person and well favored. In other words, he was as kind and gentle and as good looking in both ways as you could get. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And this is what I was talking about when we started, guys, ladies. And she said, lie with me. Now, a good, strong guy, if he's only seduced at one time, pass that off maybe pretty good and be all right. But that's not the way this was going down. This was not just a one time, hey, how about lying with me? This was not one of them times where it was just a one time conversation and you made it past it and you got everything okay and you'd never get to see her again. You'd have to talk to her again or him again. Everything's okay. But it says, came to pass that his wife cast her eyes upon him. She was lusting big time. She desired to be with him. She didn't just ask him one time. She cast her eyes upon him and she said to him, lie with me. But he refused. He was strong. He said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wot not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. In other words, everything here is under my control, under my power. But he never told me I could have anything to do with you. He says, everything here, the master's told me to be over. The master's told me to take care of. All this is committed into my hand. There is none greater in the house, except the master, than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. In other words, everything here I can eat, drink, wear, whatever, but you are not part of the deal. You are not part of my paycheck. You are not part of my responsibility to take care of. He has given me everything in the house but you. And I'm sure she knew that. And you would think she would know that anyways, right? Because, not because he didn't like her, but because thou art his wife. His wife. Now here's a woman who's married, picking on a single guy, adultery, ping, 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 pops up, you know. He says, you're his wife. You're married. I'm single. I'm not. He says, keep back anything from thee except thy wife. Now then can I do this great wickedness, adultery, fornication, and sin against God. Not only would he be sinning against his master, not only would he be sinning against his own soul, his own life, his own character, but he would be sinning against God himself. He said, how can I do this great thing? And he called it what it is, and sin against who? God. Just like David said, I have sinned against you and you alone. Now we know what he did to Uriah and them, but when he blessed, when he confessed it, he says, you and you alone. All of our sins, first of all, are against God. Everything's against God. We're off to get go. And it came to pass. So this wasn't just the next day. This was day after day after day for a long time. Could be as much as a year goes by. And every day. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not unto her. In other words, he probably tried to make sure she couldn't say a whole lot of anything. But I guarantee you, each day she either had a little less on, or a little less on, or maybe touched his hand, or winked at him, or tried to get close enough to brush his shoulder against him walking down the hall. Every day by day, she's tempting him. Day after day after day. It says, and it came to pass, day after day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her. She even might have even said, look, if you won't sleep with me, how about laying in the room next to me over here? Get a little closer. And that way, if I can get you a little bit closer, maybe I can entice you a little more and entice you a little more, and one day you'll fall to the temptation. And it came to pass that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be by her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do some of his business, and there was none of the men in the house there within. That should have been a key light up thing for Joseph, because he's used to seeing people in and out. Some of the commentators think maybe there was a festival or something going on. The wife sent them all to the festival to have fun, whatever. She may even have went to the festival with them, then feigned being sick and came back to the house a little bit later. So that way she would know who would be in the house with her. Joseph. Where would everybody else be? Down the hall or down at the festival or someplace else. And it says, and it came to pass the time that Joseph went into the house to do business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. Guys, girls, that's a key word right there. If there ain't nobody else around, stay. Don't be alone. If there's only you and somebody's wife here, that front door needs to be open and you need to be standing in it. Not being ugly. That's just a safety for all of us. Because you never know what somebody else might say. Guess what I saw? And they might not have saw what they thought they saw. But that's all it takes. Guess what I saw? So we need to be careful when we're here doing work or things, that if some lady's cleaning the house and you walk in, it's time for you to walk back out. Let her have the house. No ill feelings or nothing. Unless she asks you to reach the stove or something up top or the fan up there. But other than that, back out the house. Then it says, that goes for me too. And it came to pass by this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was no men in the house with therein, and she caught him. Remember that Proverbs 7 lady, how she caught him and she kissed him and she enticed him? Joseph didn't give her time to kiss him. It says she caught him by his garment. And I guarantee you she was trying to pull him to her. And while she's pulling him to her, he was doing that baby is cold outside and right out of his jacket in the other direction he went. And he didn't mind leaving that nice, pretty coat right there. As she caught him to spin him to her, he spun right out of his coat and went the other direction. It says that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, Joseph. Be with me. There's nobody else. Nobody's ever going to know, Joseph. It's just you and me here. That's where she's at right now. Nobody around. None of the men around. None of the women or folks are around. It says, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. That's the best thing we could ever do. We don't sit around and flirt. We don't sit around and talk. We don't sit around and say, let's cool down. It's time to separate. Because as long as you're in face-to-face, there's always the possibility somebody could keep tempting and testing and trying. If she's done grabbed your coat, or he, and he's wanting you to go do something you ain't supposed to do, it's time to run. It's time to get out. Put on your Nikes. Go. And he fled and got him out. And it came to pass. Now he's at his house or wherever he's hanging around at, down the hall where he sleeps at, whatever. But it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment. She says, now I got me some proof. I got me some ammunition. I got me some, he didn't do anything, but now I can turn this around where it's all his fault. I can turn it around where I can accuse him of coming after me. I can accuse him of trying to attack me. I was in the house all alone. I've got his coat right here. He would have never left that with me. Now I can nail him because he has rejected me. So it says, and it came to pass, and he saw he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. And she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us, and he came in unto me to lie with me, which is a lie, and I cried with a loud voice. Well, if she cried with a loud voice, why didn't they hear her when she cried? Why wasn't she right there when Joseph was running out so they could catch him and grab a hold of him and see what's happening? And then I cried with a loud voice, and nobody heard me. But he says, my husband... She's going to blame her husband for Joseph being in the house. he, my husband, have brought this Hebrew in here, and this Hebrew has mocked me and tried to get me to sleep with him, and here's his coat to prove it. And he says, she called the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew to mock us. And he came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried. Right. She's covering her bases good. She said, well, if you won't lie with me, I'm going to make sure I get you out of here. I'm going to get you in a bad spot. I'm going to make sure that nobody around here likes you or trusts you or do anything with you because you refused me. I'm going to make sure nobody else will deal with you. But we got to remember now, all in this is going on is the providence of God to get him somewhere else. I mean, we're sitting here saying, this is a terrible thing, and it is. Just like when we get to Saul next week, and it's going to be a terrible thing what Saul does, but it's all according to what God's already said he's going to do. And you say, how can these guys be sinning so against God, and this lady be sinning so against God, and it be in the providence of God to get him into the jailhouse? It's amazing how God works. But he's working. He's doing all this. And it came to pass, when he heard, he lifted up my voice, and I cried, and he left my garment with me and fled and got him out, and she laid up his garment by her until the Lord of the house come. I'm not letting go of this garment. I'm not letting nobody examine it. I'm not letting nobody touch it. I'm going to keep it right here by my chair or wherever she's sitting. And when Pop comes home, when my husband comes home, I'm going to stick it right in his face just like this. And I said, look at this. And she says, and it came to pass, she left a garment with me, and he spake unto him, her husband, according to these words, the Hebrew servant, and I guess she's shaking that thing right in his face, the Hebrew servant which thou has brought unto us. I didn't have nothing to do with this. I'm innocent here. I'm perfectly helpless here, and you brought this guy into our house, and you did this, and you have done this to me. This Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came into me to mock me. Boy, that's why you don't need to be alone. Even though Joseph was perfectly innocent, if there had been anybody else in the house, he could have said, Master, that guy over there knows what happened. He'd be glad to explain this to you. He's been watching this for days. And I'm sure that there were other people that had seen her doing things, but she was the master's wife. We're not going to... Now, maybe later on, a few years down the road or a few months down the road, maybe some of us say, really, Joseph was innocent. But because the master has to protect his reputation and his wife's reputation, Joseph still had to go to jail. But maybe later on down the road, the Potiphar, the captain of the guard, says, man, I wished I hadn't had to put him in jail because I sure was prospering good till then. I could have got rid of a wife easier. But we're not going to go there. I'm not going there. And it came to pass as he lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and he fled out. There's a lot of it coming to pass in this chapter. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And at some time I thought maybe his wrath was kindled at her, because he probably knew what kind of a girl she was. But on the other hand, most commentators still seem to think he was mad at Joseph, because Joseph was the one being accused. Joseph was the one that supposedly was attacking his wife. And any good husband, first of all, is going to believe what your wife's got to say. You're going to want to anyways. And if he came in to my wife to mock her or to lie with her, I'm fixed to punish him. And this is one guy that didn't have to go to the courthouse and get a judge or a lawyer. He had the power to put him in jail then because he was the captain of the guard. He probably didn't even have a jury trial. Lock him up, throw him in the dungeon, done deal. Says, and he got angry. and his wrath was kindled that his servant had done this thing. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. In other words, they put him in this prison, probably a big old pit, more or less. It probably wasn't like a lot of the prisons that we see. And it was the king's prisons where the most ruthless or ornery guys got pent. So he probably wasn't in like the Hilton or someplace like that. He probably was sleeping on the dirt. He probably, and then we know that in Psalms it says that his feet were fettered. So we learned that he learned by being iron around his, he had iron in his spirit because he was fettered and he was tied up. So Joseph didn't just go down there right off the bat and start taking over being the nice guy and the good guy and everything's okay. I'm just down here now instead of up there. No, he was punished. He was tortured more or less. He was in pain and agony because if you read the Psalms, it says that they kept him. He learned through the suffering of being shackled. He had iron in him. It says here, and Joseph's master put him in the prison. So he wasn't in some fancy place, the jailhouse like I go to, where they got air conditioning and TVs and all that. He was down there where they probably didn't have much except maybe some water in a bucket, and that's about it. And maybe some bread got thrown to you every now and then. And that's how he started out. Now, later on, he gets it a little better when the prison starts getting prosperous in the next chapter. But the first off, God had him learning and growing through being punished. It says, but the Lord, and I like this, and we need to keep in mind, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Now you think, this guy just got accused of wanting to sleep with his master's wife to the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. He could have said, I'd like his head on a platter. He could have said, I want him so far dead you can't get him up. But instead, for the mercy of God, even though this man could have done that, he just put him in the lower parts of the prison for a little while to grow him and to give him patience and perseverance and strength. It says here, and the Lord was with Joseph and showed mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Every place Joseph goes, God's working things out. All of a sudden now, Joseph is not the head of the house upstairs. Now he's over all the prisoners in the prison. That didn't mean he had free reign, but that means that every morning when he got up, his job was to make sure all of them got taken care of and got their needs met and things like that. It says, and the keeper of the prison committed him to Joseph's, committed them to Joseph's hands, and all the prisoners that were in the prison and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. That didn't mean that if they were sweeping, he swept, and if they was cleaning, he cleaned. But what it meant is that anything that's being prospered in that prison, Joseph was the administrator of making it happen. Whatever, if they were making wooden chains or balls or whatever they were making down there as punishment, Joseph was the administrator of making everything happen. If they were out planting crops or whatever during the day, Joseph was the administrator of it, and it prospered. The prisoners' crops growed. The prisoners' crops made more crops. It says, whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. In other words, he was in charge. He was the guy who made the plan. He was the guy who initiated the plan. He was the guy who brought it out. Now, all this is being done because God in the background is showing Joseph how to do these things. You don't just know that stuff from being a farm boy back at the house. God, somewhere along the line, has been showing Joseph some things. Joseph's been watching how things happen and how things work. And God has given him the ability and the knowledge to be able to work these things through and process this thing in his head to make things happen. You could say, well, he's a genius. Well, how did he get to be a genius? God. If you don't forget, I ain't forgot. Everything I get comes from God. And he's the keeper of it and the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything. That sounds like the Potiphar up there, not looking back. He says, man, I ain't worried about a thing. We got this going on. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. In other words, this keeper, same way as Potiphar, the captain of the guard, he's sitting back and says, whatever this guy's involved with, I haven't had one single prisoner die. I haven't had one single prisoner run off. I haven't had one single prisoner try to escape. I haven't had one get in a fight. Man, since this guy's been here, everything in this place has been going great. I like it. All I got to do is sit here and hold my sword and watch everything go on. And man, this is easy. I ain't got to whip none of them. I got a good whip here going to waste. It's all going perfect. He says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. Now, we need to understand that God moves things around. We especially know that God moves things around in this story, because when we read this thing, it says, and the Lord did, and the Lord did, and the Lord did. And very at the end of Genesis, it says, you meant it for evil, but the Lord meant it for good. The Lord can take all the bad things that's going on around us, and in the end, it'll come out good. Now, we can't see that. We don't know what's happening 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road. Joseph certainly, he had an idea, I'm going to be over some people one day, but it sure don't look like I'm getting over. Every time I go anywhere, I keep getting down in the pit and get down in the prison, get down in Potiphar's house. I'm getting tempted and tested and tried. And all this time, God is building him into a man's man. Joseph was made out of iron. You don't get tempted day after day after day and stay strong without God having a hand on top of what's happening. God put a hand around Joseph, says, I'm going to make sure Joseph stays strong. We remember there was a guy way back yonder, what was his name, Elimelech, who was going to take Sarah. And God says, I have restrained you. And he says, well, I thought she was his girl, his sister. He said, yeah, but I'm still, because you did an innocency, I'm going to restrain you from sinning. God restrained Joseph. God put a hedge around him. Can God do that still? Absolutely. Does he have to? No. But he can, and he does do that. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, but the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Man, I kind of like, that's some of that TV preaching right there. I could get on TV with that chapter, and I could get it on, you know. But the thing is, he doesn't always do that for everybody. But Joseph, he was lining Joseph up to be the second in command of Egypt. He's looking at Joseph to bring the Hebrews out of the promised land because of a drought into a promised spot for 430 years till they could become a nation. He's bringing all this on Joseph so he can bring 70 people and turn them into millions in 400 something years. And he makes it happen, because we can look back and see. But all this through a shepherd boy who supposedly died by some wild animal, who got thrown in a pit, who was going to get sold by his brothers, who gets all the way to Egypt, gets sold into Potiphar's house, trying to do the best he knows how, and always being accused, even when he was at his house back there. Oh, that dreamer of dreams. Nobody said anything good about him because he was just too good. I don't want you to be too good, but be good. Anyways, next week, we're going to hear about the butcher, the butler, and the baker. I thought in a fairy tale there, the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. But next week we'll have the baker and the butler. Get my B's straightened out. And that's going to be a pretty nifty little tale too. So. He absolutely does. Brother Lucian.